Okay, our next presentation is elinorcetrine nitrate concentration and loads response to poor fertilization, presented by Mark Davis.
Well, thanks. This is a different group than I usually talk to, but I thought I'd try a different one this time. And because I think dealing with fertilizer and dealing with nitrate loss, there's some simple things we can do, and we got to take advantage of a large-scale test that if we had proposed it, we would have never been able to do. And so that's what I'm going to report on today. And so my co-author for this is Lowell Gentry at the University of Illinois. And so we deal a lot with the tile-drained upper Midwest and the nitrate losses that occur there, and they're some of the highest in the United States, that's for sure, if not from throughout the world. And we made this map, published this a little over a year ago, and this shows the dark blue area is the area that has some of the highest nitrate losses. This was based on a model that included manna fertilizer, manna tile drainage, and also humans, people, because of sewage effluent. But what this really shows is, and this is really important for hypoxia and nitrate loads going down the Mississippi, it's really the intensive corn belt. And the intensive corn belt is where it is because those are the best soils, and the best soils are the tile drain soils. And so that combination really makes them prone to lose nitrate. And so that's sort of the whole context of what we're doing here. So what modifies that nitrate loss is drainage by the tile system and then the channelized ditches that we had. So we had a pretty simple research question. It was, how would the rivers we're in central Illinois, how would they respond if we didn't have any fall in? And we have Illinois is kind of the leader in putting nitrogen on in the fall. We like anhydrous ammonia, and we like to stay ahead of Iowa in that regard. And so we thought, well, we're going to look at this in tile-drained watersheds. And what we did is take advantage of the weather, because if we had proposed to do this, we'd never be able to get any nobody's going to agree to not do some practice on any large scale. We wouldn't have enough money to begin to pay people. But those of you from the Midwest remember that in fall of 2009, it was really wet, particularly across the upper Midwest and in Illinois. And so there was essentially no fall in, or very little fall in our area in 2009. And so I gave a talk last year at this time, and I had the results of what the river response was, what the loss of nitrate was based on that. And then, sure enough, back in 2010, fall in came right back in, and we can look this year at what happened. And so we had a really nice large-scale experiment that we didn't have to really do anything except take advantage of the weather. And so these are, one of the things, it's really hard to get statistics or data on exactly how much fall land there is and how much is applied, but this is fertilizer sales in Illinois going back all the way to the 70s. And I don't think anybody would argue that there's been a steady increase in the percent of nitrogen that has been from fall land. And you can see it was, and this is for the entire state. We don't put any fall in the lower third of Illinois, so it's the upper two-thirds. And you can see there was a steady, this is the absolute amount in just metric tons of N. So black is fall, red is spring. And you can see how they finally came together where they were about the same in the late 2000s. But here's what we're talking about. This is the big decline in the absolute amount of fall N right here in 2009. And it comes back up in 2010. And as a percent, it goes down and comes back up as well. So there, again, the sales numbers are not always perfect, but I think there's little doubt that fall end went way, way down in 2009 and came back up to about where it was in 2010. We also looked at the sales, just the absolute amount of N fertilizer sold in the fall in the sort of 11-county area, that's the tile-drained area in central Illinois. And again, there's a lot of variability in these data, but there's no doubt that 2009, again, was down substantially, and it came back up in 2010. So we have pretty good evidence, and we just have evidence from driving around that of this pattern. So the watershed that we work in is the Embera watershed. It's a 47,000 hectare watershed here in central Illinois. It's where Champaign-Urbana is at the headwaters of it. It's mostly corn and soybeans. It's really flat. It's heavily tile drained. There's very little sewage effluent. There's a little, it's almost no animal agriculture, so manure is not an issue. Most of the river is channelized. And we've done weekly to daily sampling at the USGS gauge site that's at the base of this watershed since 1993. So we have a pretty long-term, pretty intensive, large-scale watershed along with stream flow at this site. And there's not that many places that have that intensive data. There are some, but not a lot. And so this is at the gauge site. This was just this last February. We typically, because where we are, we don't have a snowpack typically. We do get freeze-thaw events. We do get flow. We do get tile flow throughout the winter typically, or at least periodically in the winter. And so it's not not this kind of thing where it's just going to be flow in the spring. And this is our data set for nitrate concentrations. And it follows the typical seasonal pattern that you see anywhere in the Midwest. Those of you who work in that area have seen this on many rivers. All that varies from one river to the next is sort of the absolute amount. But our concentrations typically get build through the winter, spring, and get up somewhere between 10 and 15 milligrams per liter. And then when the tiles stop and the river flow goes way down, it gets down to zero because there's very little input. And what does get into the river is denitrifies. So here's what we're going to look at is right in here. We had a typical year in 2009, but going into 2010, so this is following the fall end, the concentrations don't go, it's not like no fall end is going to make them go down to zero, but they were much lower, and there was one concentration of a kind of strange flow that went up, but you'll see what the sort of average concentration or volume weighted concentration was. There's no doubt the concentration were much lower. And then in 2010, with more typical fall end, it comes right back up again. So I want to, and you'll see in this long-term data set, there's one other year where we had this kind of low pattern, and that's 94. And that's following the 93 very heavy rainfalls when there was also a low fall end. But we didn't have any data before then. These are the concentrations for these last 3 years. And what we typically see is once we get into the fall, concentrations start to build, and they build and build. And so we're getting, I think, contributions from leftover end from the previous year, from mineralization, and not from fall end right away. But through the winter, we start to get more from fall end, and then we get into the spring, and we get some of that fertilizer, and then we get this kind of peak. And we see that same pattern in 2011 right here. But it kind of flattened out. It just didn't go up like it normally did with the lack of fall end. And then we do pick up some high concentrations, but that's following most of the spring end, which makes some sense. If we look at the long-term load, this is on top is the average nitrate export in kilograms of N per hectare. This watershed average is about 30 kilograms per hectare per year loss. And the red line there is a 5-year running average. And in 2009, it actually wasn't, it was kind of an average year. And then 2010 actually is only, or 2000, I'm just getting it backwards. 2010 was an average year in the nitrate load. And 2011 is not much higher, but you have to look at the water flux. This is the amount of stream flow. And actually 2010 was one of our wetter years, yet it had a very low end load. And 2011 is a much lower amount of stream flow, yet the load was higher. So in other words, you got to always take the volume of water into account. And so based on that, it makes even more sense that the lack of fall end reduced the end load. This is some data we put together with some really long-term data and some other sources. And it shows that's the volume-weighted concentration for 2009. It's one of the lowest we had seen. The next lowest there is the 94 one following the 93 high flow period. And there's some other ones in here that I'm not as sure about. When you get back into the 60s and the 70s, it starts to go way down. But this is one of the lowest average concentrations. Again, it's down about 25 to 30%. From what it was. And then 2011 here comes right back up. So we really do see some evidence of that. We also did some regional sampling. We knew we didn't have any of this fall in 2009, so in 2010 we went out and sampled a variety of stream locations in East Central Illinois. A number of the big river systems were at the head of five big river systems. You can see the names there. So we did that in 2010, then we went back in 11. And again, this is all in this 11 county tile drain region. And so here's what we found. The white, these are box and whisker plots, so these are median concentrations. So the white are 2010, so here we are in April, early in the year, and you can see the range in these 15 stream locations. Here it is again about the same flow time period in 2011, and the concentration again is much higher. Then if we get into June, same kind of thing. Concentrations typically have moved up, and then in 2011 it's even higher yet. So we saw the same pattern. It's not the same amount, but the percentage comes out in the low 20s as the decrease due to the lack of fall nitrogen. So one of the things I didn't show here, but nitrogen balances in this area have actually been declining, but our nitrate concentrations haven't. That's sort of another related story. However, fall N has clearly increased, even as the nitrogen balances have gotten better, but we also have more tile drainage all the time as well. There's more intensive tiling put in all the time. And so in a year with very little fall N, we saw much lower nitrate concentrations. And again, that's what I reported last year, but with the return of fall N, the stream concentrations returned to more what we'd call typical, or the concentrations of the last 20 years. And so I think the industry is headed to move away from fall N, but it's a really long-term plan. But this would seem to be one thing, if we're really serious about reducing nitrate loads, this would seem to be one of the easiest things that we could do. And if we can't even get off of this, and especially in central Illinois, I'm not sure we're going to get to some of the more difficult ways of reducing nitrate. So with that, I'll stop. Pretty much now. That's pretty common, yeah. And they've really pushed to use that in all fall N. The temperature is all, the recommendation has gone down as well. The temperature recommendation used to be 60 degrees with an inhibitor, 50 degrees without an inhibitor. Now it's 50 degrees no matter what. But the fertilizer industry has pushed very hard to try and include an inhibitor all the time. But I think one of the problems is our soils, a lot of years, don't get that cold. And we start to warm up in mid to late winter. And that's way before the crops could ever need it. And so I think a lot of Illinois is too far south.
Yeah. So you saw a decrease in fall N, but was that balance made up in the spring?
Oh, yeah.
Was there less, or how did total
end
for the year?
It was average. It's right on the long-term average. There was a lot of concern that they wouldn't be able to get it on, and they were able to.
I believe Illinois is number one in fertilizer end usage.
That's correct.
We have a long history of leaking nitrates drainage and everything. What is it going to take?
It's going to take more than this, apparently. We've been working on it for a long time. We thought there was some hope. There was a lot of talk last fall. The industry came out with a plan in the spring that promises they might be able to do some of this in the next 15 years, but they're very resistant. Yeah, no, they're very resistant. You're right. And we are still the leading state for fall N. It's the history there, and people are used to doing it, and it's hard to change that. Dan, one last.
I don't disagree that lack of fall N probably drove some of the oscillation we saw, but also I assume there was no fall tillage in 2009 as well. How do you separate that, and probably some of the hydrologic differences, because the fall, all that heavy fall precipitation in that year from the lack of fall application, and all those things are going to drive.
Yeah, I think. I do, but I don't know that the precipitation, if anything, we would have, that was early in the year, and so that didn't really, that still didn't drive stream loads. It was wet, but it wasn't enough to push stream concentration or flow up a lot. The tillage is another, that's another thing. Yeah, I guess that, you could make some argument that was part of it, but The numbers matched a lot of other data for, that we have in Illinois at least, for the reduction. I mean, it's about the percent you would expect. It's not going to solve the problem, but it could be an easy 20% in many years.
Okay.